You are listening to episode 39 of the Where Are Your Keys Language Fluency Game podcast with me, guest host Patrick Hughes. This episode was recorded on October 7th, 2010. In this episode, you will hear me, Patrick, speaking with Willem Larson about a recent Where Are Your Keys Irish Language Night that we've set up in Portland, Oregon. We talk about some of the difficulties that we've had with the complex language structures in Irish, and what to put in and what not to put in the beginning want-have-give-take games. We also discuss the crucial importance of Ultimo in the advancement of the game and in the advancement of the player's language abilities. And we discuss the role of the fluent speaker and how to keep him or her engaged in the game, even at the very simplest language levels.
So, yeah, how did it... So what we did was we warmed up with a game?
Right. We warmed up with a game, but I went a lot faster than in all the other games I've done every other week.
Okay.
I skipped a lot of stuff because everybody that was sitting at the table at that point had already covered a lot of the initial stuff, so...
Cool.
Try to dive right into
what? What did you skip?
I didn't necessarily skip anything, but I went through the what is that? Oh, is okay. that yours? Make me say yes. Make me say no. Really quickly.
Okay.
And only once or twice.
Yeah.
And then
cool.
I went and dived into other
That's
stuff.
How so. It works. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So that felt really good.
Yeah. And then somebody showed up and we decided Ultimo. Was it Joel?
Right. Joel showed up and we decided to Ultimo.
Okay.
Yeah. I was having a bit of a issue initially because I knew that it had been my plan to do an Ultimo, so so that was kind of what I was going in there with the idea of doing. And then, but then there was such a small group tonight that it didn't seem like it was going to work.
But Joel appeared. and just so you know, in the Ultimo game, my goal wasn't to go all the way to one have give take per se. What we did was I wanted to demonstrate to Wood that she was more than able to lead a game at whatever particular level she can lead a game at.
Mm.
So if that was, what is that, that would have been fine with me. And as it turns out, it was, what is that, I want your, here it is. I believe that's where it was. And it's possible, too, that she could go all the way to, you know, agamaget, you know, I have and you have and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we at least went that high. And so what that does is open up the possibility that there's still an Ultimo option. If she teaches, brings someone up to her level, then she can go, okay, now pull me up the rest of the way, all the way through one half good take. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So you don't, there's no one particular moment necessarily. I mean, especially since Irish Night, we're really, it's not that far. We're not that far ahead of one half give take.
Right.
So you really kind of have to sort of split hairs on when you Ultimo anyway. I mean, you know, if really new people showed up, they might end up playing What Is That all night off in the corner.
Right.
Not one have give take, you know what I mean?
Right, sure.
Because it's a little more complicated.
It's a little more complicated than Chinook. Yeah.
But so Wood can do that.
Great. You know, so the Ultimo table went really well then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it went really well.
How
did that go with Ken?
Well, it was kind of strange not having Bob there at all because we kept tripping up on a few things and had no one to kind of turn to.
Interesting.
And wonder.
Isn't that fascinating? You know, like Ken and Bob clearly know what they're doing.
Right.
And yet there's these little wrinkles where they're like, we don't know.
Yeah. It's the speaking part.
It's like the speaking
alien
part.
Thing to everybody.
Yeah. And I just find it fascinating how the game fleshes that out. Like, you know, the proof is in the pudding.
Right. Know? Yeah. So in one sense, it was good that Bob wasn't there because that gave us a chance to kind of catch up and get to the level that we'd got up to before. But then again, it made it difficult in a lot of senses too.
Right.
Not knowing if we were saying things right or not.
Right.
So there was that aspect to it. But we were definitely getting more fluid with the trading.
Uh-huh,
there was
nice.
Lots of like, if I give you this, will you give me that? And we did a lot of stumbling at first. Like it took us a long time
mm-hmm.
to sort of to get around all the putting all those words together and what stringing all those
uh-huh.
words together in one sentence.
Uh-huh.
So that was tricky.
Uh-huh.
And then I had an issue because Bruce left. So it was just me and Ken.
Uh-huh.
And we wanted to keep trading because we were still stumbling a lot over words, and we wanted to get it really fluid by the end of the night. Uh-huh. And it turned out to be a lot more sort of difficult than I expected, because I thought I had it, and I know how to uh-huh. go about saying those things, but I seemed to be tripping up on them a lot, and then suddenly I was muddling up the colors of the pens.
So there's like some, okay,
throwing some other stuff off too.
Uh-huh.
And yeah.
Well, you know, I gotta say, it's dark. There's other objects on the table besides the props you're talking about. There's noise. There's a lot of noise. In addition, you're probably felt like you had to run the whole game, like you were had the reins in your hands. And Ken is helpful, but like not isn't necessarily going to take the reins.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're signing along with fluent speech that you like feel like you have, and like, you know, enough of those add up that you can start to. I mean, you're using so much of your brain. I mean, we were talking about this, right?
Right.
It's like, it's amazing how, I mean, like when we put the salt shaker on the table, I was like, he's gonna put the salt on the table. I was like, I was cool with it. You know, like, you know, what it's, you know, in a way it's like, I want to see what risks you're willing to take that end up paying off. I mean, you know, that's great.
Right. And the reason I did that was to avoid the whole Daw, Fionn, Derek thing of the numbers coming into play.
Right. So that was a solution to one problem. I also thought it could be a solution to, I want to trade my black pen for your black pen. Which almost came up several times. Like, why would you want to trade a black pen for a black
exactly,
pen?
Exactly, you know? Yeah. I had to keep switching around objects, and I thought it would be better just to substitute a different object altogether.
However, you know, a new sign, a new stuff, and then, you know, like, anytime you bring in a new object, man, it's fierce. Because you're not just speaking. You're doing this whole, you're designing a game on the fly. You know, you're using every part of your brain possible. So, you know, I wouldn't feel, I mean, certainly it doesn't surprise me, or it's not unusual that you would be like, why am I muddling things? I mean, that's why it's like such a hardcore limit and such a hardcore magician setup, you know? Or like,
right. Yeah, so. I think tonight I was kind of missing the stick and the stone of Chinook.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that would have been useful because they're pretty simple objects. And when you get to trading, you really need a little bit of a variety in the objects so that mm-hmm. there's actually a purpose to trading.
So we just limited it, didn't we? That's just an artifact of us having limited to black pen, red pen.
Right.
There's no real reason why we can't use a stick and a stone necessarily. Yeah.
Just never brought one.
Yeah, well, maybe it's time to, you know, like, I mean, this is exactly how it comes up. You know, the trading game requires more objects, and if the objects are chaotic, like a hat, you know, or, you know, other things, unusual signs that you won't use that often, then, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it ended up that we started pulling in all sorts of things that weren't necessarily the best thing. And then suddenly we had an empty glass as one of the props. Yeah, it was bad. We were out of luck there with the props.
I think that's hilarious. So, like, what's wrong with an empty glass? Well, let me tell you. You know?
And then an empty bottle of apple cider. Yeah, it was just whatever we had. And so I definitely have to remember to bring in more of a variety of props. Because up to this point, we haven't really had much of a need for anything other than the pens. So.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thing.
Yeah.
And then our fluent speaker won't be here next time. So how are you going to fish? Does somebody you think either Ken or Bob know? Bruce? Either Ken or Bruce knows? Rock and Stick? Do you know
Rock and Stick? I think so. Okay. I think they do. But I don't know. I mean,
I tell you, one of the funny things about Rock and Stick is a fluent speaker of a language who grew up with the language is the one who knows Rock and Stick.
Right.
But not business travelers, yeah, not college professors, not I do, you know, I'm an artist and I live in France. You're like, no, you have to have grown up messing around with stuff to know Rock and Stick.
Yeah, maybe I should bring a couple of objects to.
I mean, we could pull in other colors. I mean, if we wanted to hedge our bets, and, like, we have other colored pens.
Right. The one thing I found, though, is that when we got into the trading, the colors were a confusion.
Oh, okay.
Colors were added confusion.
Okay. So you could...
I even got to a point where I was just calling it a pen.
Okay.
Rather than a red pen.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, no kidding. Yeah.
So that was a difficulty. Another difficulty I had was that once Bruce left, it was just me and Ken, and we were going back and forth, really wanted to get this fluency in the if I give you this, will you give me that? Which seemed to be the hardest part of the trading.
Yeah.
And because we were lacking other players in the game at that stage, and we had no Lunatic Fringe or anything like that, it got to a point where it was just like we were just going through the motions, and then with the game aspect of it kind of got lost. Because we just needed to try sort of drill this, like, I'll give you this if you give me that. Sort of a thing, so it was just like, I'll give you this if you give me that. Oh, great, there it is.
Yeah, you do that twice and the game's over.
But we just kept doing exchanges, the same exchanges with different objects, basically. Okay. But it felt more like a drill than an actual, like, playing a game where there's multiple players and you're trading between people, and then there's stuff moving around the table, and it's got more of an element of kind of engagement in it.
Well, and maybe that's why we didn't Ultimo at the beginning of the night, because it's also, my opinion is, half is immersion in the language and half is technique talk, because what is working, what isn't working, why would I do this, why would I do that, somebody has a moment where like, this is really like a consistent obstacle, and so we talk about the obstacle in terms of the technique we would bring to bear on it, and that can give you a little breather from a situation where maybe you have only a two-person game and you sort of beat the conversation to death. Now what do?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to spend the whole night trying to drill the thing. You can talk about, if we have other players, what would we do? And then you could actually have gone and grabbed us and been like, okay, we're going to do an experiment, guys. And you come over, you know what I mean? Like thinking on the level of the game, you know, and the language is just like Christopher the Mill, because you could be doing this with any language. So it's always about the craft of gameplay and language hunting, and not so much about, you ran into a wall, right? You ran into a wall where we can't drill this anymore. So, that's the,
and we're still not fluent.
Yeah. That's the information. So how do you work that problem rather than, moving ahead anyway, because we're stuck, how do you cheat, and unstuck yourselves?
Right. And then the past tense started coming into play towards the end of the night, and then it was kind of a mess.
Yeah, right. You started counting things randomly.
I tried to limit that.
Yeah, no, that was good. I saw when Bruce was like, God, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Here we go. Well, it's only two pens. But it's true.
And then I'm wondering about if, too, because I don't know a lot of languages as a conditional tense.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if Irish is that way. And
well, I mean, maybe that's why I'm a tugging to, maybe that is it.
Yeah, it's
we
not,
we were running
though.
Into... It's not?
It's okay. Not.
So
it's
you know
not.
It's not.
I know it's not, yeah. Hmm.
Well, then it must not. Or to get him to reveal it.
There might be some revealing issue there.
Doesn't want to overcomplicate it.
Yeah. So that was just interesting to me, because it came up that I realized that to do the trading fully, to like make it as complicated as possible with two people, then you've got to have all the three, the past, present, and future there. Because it's like, I will give you if you give me.
Yeah.
Oh, I gave you a pen.
Uh-huh.
And then if there's a conditional tense on top of that, that's a lot of verbs there.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice. It's stick in the present tense. And I mean, sometimes you cheat a little, and the what is that thing, even though it's a this, because it's right in front of you, but you call it what is that for the sake of, whatever. And I would say the only other cheat that I would do is to just sort of doggedly, stubbornly stay in the present tense if at all possible. But conditional tense is sort of different, it's almost like a taste of past tense, or if it's in Irish at all, it's sort of a little taster, but you can,
So you wouldn't do the whole, if I'm trading with you and you have a black pen and I have a red pen, and I say, well, I'll give you my red pen if you give me your black pen.
Uh-huh.
So we get that far, and that's present and future. So you wouldn't at that point, at that stage of the game, say, oh, I gave you my red pen.
No, I try and find a cheat around it. I'd be like, rather than I will, maybe I'd say, I want to give you my red pen for your black pen. Oh, well, give me your red pen for my black pen. Not, hey, I'll give you my red pen if you later on give me, you know, like, I just whatever you can do to stay in the present tense, because it's just Pandora's box, you know? Like,
right.
It opens up this whole thing, which is something you want to learn, but it's just not necessarily in order quite yet. And there's so many other things that are like, so many other things that you can honestly stay in the present tense. No problem. Like, where's my red pen? I have it. Like, well, we still got to get through that. So, you know, there might be a level of the trading game that just doesn't mature until, like, the very end of intermediate high, you know, or whatever, when you're, like, gone through all the past tense and where the time stuff, and now you're finally starting to hit past tense and being able to still tell stories in past, present, and future. You know.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Okay. So try and limit the amount of.
But yeah, I would just try and limit, you know, and the conditional thing is like, it's sort of like a, you know, it's like a little taste of that, but it isn't actually that, you know?
Right.
You know, and I mean, I'm still, you know, like the Montugan 2 issue, you know, like when do you say that and when don't you say that? Do you say, you know, Ma tour he to de fion.
Well, I actually hunted that tonight because I learned that in school, but I couldn't remember which. I knew that they were different tenses, but I couldn't remember which tense was which, so I had to do a setup to to figure that out.
Oh, good. Okay, awesome. Good. That's awesome. Well, great. You know, that's helpful.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's just. You know, I mean, there's so many things. I mean, you've got to ask which, and there's numbering, which is perfectly present tense. There's stacked adjectives, you know, multiple adjectives about one thing. You know, we haven't even touched that yet. You know, right. there's this is bigger than that, you know, like comparisons and stuff. And you know, reason why you have to do, you know, past future tense for that. So, like, I know, like, you could have like a more fulfilling trading game if you went in that, but it just. It's a huge subject, you know. I could be blowing smoke up. You know, I could be talking out of my hat. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's if you limit to four nouns, that's fine. One have give take. I don't know. You know, like maybe it's fine, but it definitely sort of. I get nervous, you know. Well, and then sometimes you just can't know what a language will do, so you ask the fluent speaker, and then they tell you, and then you end up playing this game with multiple tenses because they told you how you say that, and it drags in, and that's just how it works. But, you know, but then later on, like, this is sort of like the English cheat is, does he want to give me his red pen? Yes, he wants to give you his red pen. Well, I want his rock. You know, so therefore, I'm giving you my red pen and you get his rock. You know, I mean, like you can sort of cheat your way through it and it's still all, it's all what somebody would say and it's, you know, and all you're doing is just sort of, I mean, there's when you're first encountering the language and then there's, as the games get faster and faster for new players, they're going to learn way faster than you learn. In the beginning, you're trying to go for honest language and then figure out later how you can limit it and keep it honest. But that's sort of like that's quite a puzzle. Like, you'd have to know a lot about a language to, like...
Right.
I mean, and also, you know, maybe you just... Maybe if it's just real limited to those one have give take and that's it. Past, present, future, and all those conditional. Maybe that's not so bad.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, that would be, like, I know in Spanish... Like, being familiar with the verbs in Spanish, that would be honest to be doing that.
Yeah, so. You know how, like, you go around the circle and you hit an eddy and you work it and you work it and you work it and you go around the circle and, you know, so
right.
You wouldn't necessarily have to do all of those at once. You know, kind of like what happened with wood. Well, I guess it was, like, wood was sort of a little hesitant, so we did this thing where it's like, what do you have? Oh, I have this. What do you have? Oh, I have this. What do you have? Oh, I have this. What do you have?
Right.
I have this. And we just did it over and over. Not for any reason other than just, oh, here's an opportunity to work it.
Right.
So, I mean, you can use those same tricks to sort of avoid having to deal with the whole thing at once.
And the thing is, in Irish, the verbs aren't that difficult. I mean, like, they're not conjugated like other languages are.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean,
they're a lot simpler conjugations, so.
In that case, then, to use, compare it to Spanish might be, like, totally irrelevant. Like, maybe this is the easy way in Irish to get your foot in the door you know, and it's right. like works really well, and why put it off?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. It would be something that would be good to cover, but at the same time, it is definitely a struggle for us covering it right now. And I don't know if that's just something that we should maybe just work through it and just keep on going around and around until we get it.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, and we've had other stuff in Irish where it's like, man, this is really complicated. When are we going to get this? I mean, we've had those moments, and then they're gone. Yeah. It's hard to even remember when they happened now. You know? Like, you know, I think we had struggling with this is a red pen for a while, you know, like, how is it? They say, or was it on? People kept forgetting on over and over and over, you know, so, yeah, you know. It's fluency. It's normal. It's definitely, if you can chunk it down to the level where you never feel like, wow, this is tough, that's the goal. Where everything seems to be coming pretty easy.
Yeah.
Because you don't even have the option. But since you're designing the game as you go, you're experiencing all that right off because you're deciding when is it too much.
Right.
Like you're bringing out the salt shaker. You're trying to, like, steer a game so that it works. You're trying to figure out, you know, how many tenses are actually doable, or can you do an adjective and a noun, and you know, like, so that once the game is designed, though, the next player is never going to even know that you could be overwhelmed by Irish.
So I guess my main concern then is to be able to keep the game going like that, to get to that point without having a fluent speaker that's bored, or other people who are kind of outside of their learning zone where they're finding it too easy or too difficult.
Well, I think you got the ultimo. I mean, that's, you know, keep doing the ultimo. And don't be afraid to, like, as soon as you get a little chunk, ultimo it off, and then make sure that what Bob is experiencing, or whoever your fluent speaker is, what they're experiencing is the very cutting edge of
the
game.
Yeah.
You know? And even if you go home and you practice in the mirror with an imaginary friend or with, you know, us or whatever, like, and you just work and when you show up, regardless of anybody else, you're ready for the next thing. And then you can send everybody else off an ultimo because nobody's catching up with you. So you're able to push in deeper and deeper territory. And then, I mean, a language night should have a superior circle. Really should. So yeah. There's no reason why beginners should be talking to Bob anyway. So the sooner you could get Bob way away from even anywhere near the beginner, you know, novice or intermediate, the better.
Yeah, that's a good thing to think about.
Yeah, so just keep racing. I mean, race at breakneck speed, and then use all your spare time to make sure that you've got it personally so you can honestly take him to the next spot.
Right.
And then, you know, and you can, like, spin off all these ultimo people, you know, as soon as, you know, they've got this chunk. Most people probably aren't going to go home and practice. So what will happen is if they're there and they witness the thing, the new thing, then you know, okay, next time I'll have them ultimo this. Because they'll probably still need practice.
Right.
They'll probably be able to puzzle it out. But, I mean, this is one of those things. It's like, you don't necessarily get fluency at the table the first time the thing comes up. You get fluency from being an ultimo, running those games over and over. You know,
yeah.
Like, so even if, like, for me, I wouldn't necessarily say I'm, like, quick draw fluent on one half give take, but I've got no problem with running a whole bunch of one half give take games because I know every time I do, I'm going to get faster and faster and faster. And I'm always going to be faster than the folks I'm running it for.
Right.
So they're going to think I'm going really fast because I have to slow down for them. But meanwhile, I'm, like, working it for myself. So then I get faster and then I'm ready for the next thing.
You have been listening to episode 39 of the Where Are Your Keys Language Fluency Game podcast with me, Patrick Hughes, recorded on October 7th, 2010. Thank you for listening.